Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What is a promise? Well, it's a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something as specified. Men make promises, but their promises are no more reliable than their word and their ability to keep the promise. Sometimes men bite off more than they can chew. That simply means they cannot keep a promise they've made. Sometimes promises are broken unintentionally, but they may be broken intentionally. Now, they are divinely given promises, promises that God has made, and God keeps His promises. A promise is usually in the context of something good, and the fulfillment of it is anticipated with joy. Such promises are like the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the providence of God, many other similar promises that God has given to man. And how grateful we are for the exceeding great and precious promises of God, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. And they can be ours through Christ. But there's another kind of, well, we might call it a promise, if we can call it that, and it's just as sure and just as certain that is better identified as a warning. There are threats with negative results if they are not ignored. There are things of which we can be sure as the precious promises, things that we would wish maybe would not occur. A promise has positive consequences, while a warning has negative consequences. Now, that's a distinction we need to make. What we're discussing, friend, has to do with the credibility of God. Will God keep His word in both warnings and promises? Paul said, "Know therefore that the Lord God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, repaying them that hate Him to their face to destroy them, and He will not be slack concerning him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face." Peter quoted a portion of that passage in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised," Hebrews 10, verse 23. So we can be sure that God says is the way it's going to be. Now some rejoice in the good that God will do unto them, being kind and gentle and so on, and we dare not minimize, and we praise God for that part of His nature. But He will also keep His threats and His warnings, and will punish the evildoer. Oh, some might say God would never do that. You know, sometimes people talk that they'd be more compassionate and just and kind than God is. They ignore the harder side of God, His justice, His holiness. But such a view invalidates the credibility of His word. We have but one major point in this lesson, and that is, friend, how God has made promises that are positive and warnings that are negative. And God keeps His word in both instances. And we want to cite several examples of this truth. "And God said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Genesis 3 and 3. Well, what was this about? Though Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat of a certain fruit. Thou shalt not. What's so hard about thou shalt not for people to understand? Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit anyway, and they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. They died spiritually that day they were separated from God, and they brought physical death upon all of their descendants, Romans 5 and verse 12. Cannot we understand that God kept His word? Genesis 6, 5 and 6 tells us of the evil spiritual condition of mankind prior to the flood at the time of Noah. God gave His word. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them," Genesis 6 and verse 7. Well, did He do it? Well, we read of the flood that followed. We cannot doubt He kept His word. The biblical effort for a universal flood continues to mount, dear friend, in spite of the skeptics who do not wish to credit Genesis as being historical. They think it's only a myth or a fable. But Christ cited the flood as a historical event, Luke 17 and verse 32. And again, God warned that he would destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their abominable behavior. And he gave Lot and his family opportunity to escape, and some did. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and all which grew upon the ground. Well, it sounds like he kept his word, he kept his promises, didn't he? And we read about Korah and others. They led a rebellion against Moses. It was tantamount, of course, to a rebellion against God, since Moses was God's chosen leader. And they said to Moses, "You take too much upon yourself." Well, the matter was put to a test as to who the leadership belonged. The events that followed showed conclusively that Korah and others were the ones who had taken too much upon themselves, and they perished. Yes, God kept his word. He had warned them, and he kept his warnings. God told Israel to gather manna each day, but not more than was necessary, except the day to cover the Sabbath day. Well, that which happened was that some gathered more than they wanted or needed to. They gathered in excess. God said, if you do, it'll spoil. Well, some didn't believe him, but they gathered it. Well, what happened? Well, Exodus chapter 16 tells us it was spoiled. God kept his word. And God was strict regarding the violations of the Sabbath. One man gathered sticks on the Sabbath, and he was stoned. Well, it looks like God meant his law. Israel would prolong their days in Canaan if they were obedient. Otherwise, he said, they would lose the land. Well, friend, they were not obedient, and they lost the land. Palestine does not belong to the Jewish nation anymore today because of God's promises. Oh, they may take it, they may hold it, but it's not because God said it would be theirs. The New Testament warnings given to the seven churches of Asia, they were not just idle words. God meant what he said. Where are those churches today that refuse to be faithful unto Jesus Christ? Friend, God has never gone back on his word. Now, he changed his mind about Nineveh when he warned that they would be destroyed in 40 days because of their wickedness. That was obviously a conditional promise and a conditional warning, because they repented. And when they repented, he repented, that is, he changed his mind about the destruction. If God did not change his mind when he makes a conditional promise or conditional warning, explicitly or implicitly, he would be untrue to his word. Well, he's never untrue to his word. Does this fact make any difference to us? Well, it certainly should. Friend, God has warned us today of certain things as well as his promises us great blessings. He is warned, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, that's a promise of great blessing of salvation. It's a warning also of condemnation. Is it just a maybe so? Does God really mean what he said there? Jesus Christ said it. If you believe and are baptized, you'll be saved. Well, what a wonderful promise. But what if you don't believe? You'll be condemned. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life," Matthew 25. Did the Lord mean it when he was teaching about the judgment? Is he unfaithful to his word? in Luke 13, verses 3 through 5. It demands that we repent or perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Jesus said. He had cited some who had been destroyed, but he warned that others could be destroyed. How many shall refuse to repent and then expect not to perish? No, God will keep his word. Revelation 21 and verse 8 lists a number of sinful people who will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, do you think he said that just to scare people? Or did God warn with certainty? Did he warn because he wanted people not to do those things, lest they should be destroyed? Paul mentioned a host of wicked people who shall not inherit the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians 6. He spoke as the Holy Spirit guided him. Were his words just idle words? Or will God keep his words? Will he keep his promises? Will he keep his warnings? The first psalm tells the destiny of the blessed, but it also tells the destiny of the ungodly. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In Proverbs 14 and 34, it warns a nation of its conduct. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Will God keep his word? In Galatians chapter 6, we hear the law of sowing and reaping. That law is not going to be repealed. God will keep his word. You know, some teach that baptism is not necessary for salvation, but God teaches that it is. Some say, well, maybe God will find a way to save them anyway. We dare not limit God, they say. Friend, it's not a question of limiting God. It's a question of believing God when he tells us there's one way, and that way is Christ. God can and do whatever God sees fit. But to suggest that he will do differently than what he has revealed is to challenge his credibility and his integrity. Who has the right to do that? No, I suggest to you, dear friend, when God draws a line, it's man's duty to respect that line, not try to move it, change it, alter it, define it in some other way than what God has said. We should be sobered by the positive promises and the negative warnings of God. He will forbid entrance into heaven of those who are disobedient and unfaithful. He will usher the obedient and faithful into his glory. His terms of salvation are to hear the word, believe that word, and repent of sins. Confess our faith in Christ and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. That's where we reach his shed blood, and then we'll rise to walk in newness of life. Who has a right to say otherwise? We can rest assured that the following is true, that those who believe and obey shall be saved, and those who don't, won't. And that's because God is faithful to his word. When we pick up our Bible and we read of the precious promises that God has offered to mankind through his grace and mercy, and when we read of the warnings that God has given to the rebellious and disobedient, let us be wise. Let us listen to what God has said. What he has said, he means, and he will be faithful to his word. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.